This is my job.
The other lady's with the cameras upstairs.
Yeah, but like, this is my job. This is what I do. You let me know who you are. You want to come and have access.
Are you a law enforcement officer?
I can be.
I don't think it works like that. Oh, man. Again, these just ambush. Journalists would be a bit much to call them journalists. I've gotten so many texts from people, by the way, telling me that these folks had tried to come to their, like, Escambia County office or the tax collector's office and, you know, and got nothing. And so those videos don't get published where nothing happens, you know, because they don't publish their fails, which if they were actual journalists, they'd publish their fails. Hey, look at a good job they did over here and over here. I mean, you know, but they're not journalists. They're just, you know, muckrakers for the sake of getting clicks, right? 7:39 on News Radio 92.3. Mike Wood is the public information officer for PPD. He joins us now. Hey, Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So obviously you have seen this video. You know, you had chief of police was involved in this, you know, sort of throughout, and then a couple of your other law enforcement officers showed up, which is appropriate. Your assessment?
The Pensacola Police Department, including the chief of police, did very well. They maintained their composure. And if you look at some of these other videos, that's not the case with other encounters with these type people. So the chief and the officers there, they answered the questions. They didn't go for the bait, and so it worked out well for us.
Yeah, I would have preferred a little more clarity by the, you know, City Hall security staff, but clearly these folks were trying to cause a problem, and, you know, they're kind of like the TMZ, like they couldn't get a job at TMZ, so they come and do this for a living. But also, I have questions about, you know, what are the sort of constitutional limits of being able to create a security space around a public facility like this?
Well, it's a public facility, true enough, but there has to be a modicum of security there. People get upset at police departments, law enforcement agencies, city hall, and they could go in there at any time with waving a firearm. So you have to have, even though it's a public building, public space, you still have to have some security there, and you have to have rules to protect the people that work there. And that's what those rules are in place for.
One of the things that I was uncertain about while I was watching is, you know, obviously, if you are a sworn law enforcement officer, you can use force to create safety, to protect people, and obviously to enforce the law. You can go hands-on, and, you know, typically is the phrase you use. But I was wondering, to what degree would the city employees have been justified in themselves using force to protect a secure area against people like this? You know, there's obviously some point at which you're allowed to use pushing and shoving or more, but when does that point come? Obviously, if they feel like they're in the threat of physical danger, bodily harm, I totally get that. I mean, you can go as high as using a gun to defend in that case, depending on the level of the threat. But at what point would these employees have been allowed to, you know, to grab a hand and move somebody away and back to the elevator?
Well, they have the same rights as an average citizen does. Just because they're a security guard does not give them any more.
Right.
You have to be in a sworn position in order to have more than that. So they can do what is legal for any citizen to do, and that's to protect themselves or someone else with a reasonable amount of force, should that be necessary.
So if they're just talking, you pretty much just have to take it until the cops come to trespass them. Because you can't trespass somebody with force yourself off of, like, your government property or your house. I just don't know the answer to this, so I'm curious.
Yeah, the law enforcement officer needs to be there. They need to be warned against trespassing in front of the law enforcement officer. A little bit of paperwork is done, and then it becomes official. We can't do that on our own. We have to have someone from that building, in this case City Hall, warn them in front of us not to return to make it legal.
Is that even true, like, on my porch? Or, like, I mean, if God forbid somebody gets into my foyer, they're not threatening, they're just obnoxious, and they're not willing to leave, I can't just knock him out and take him outside? Because I'm telling you, that's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's probably not a good idea. Don't do that.
Okay.
But if you have the right on private property to decide who is able to come there and not, and if somebody again and again approaches you or comes to your property, then you can certainly have them trespass warned against the returning.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, sometimes the law, as we know, doesn't give you what you would think common sense would allow you to do. But that's why I wanted to ask, because I didn't really know the answer to the question. And, you know, I know you guys do training, right? You And if people, like, I assume if there's a government entity that is not sure that their staff is up to speed on this, you guys will help them understand the law and train them how to respond?
Yeah, these type things are going to keep happening. Mostly they pick on government buildings to do this. And like you said, they're looking for confrontation. And if they don't get it, they just get bored and they leave. So, you know, they don't have a whole lot to do. So they do this. And I was warned by a PIO in Georgia that these folks may head our way a couple of months ago, and he was right. So, you know, train your people on this. Let them know that, you know, they are entitled to go to public spaces, but if you have security rules in place, they also have to abide by those. And if not, then they're going to summon law enforcement, and we train our people in handling these type situations, as you can clearly see on that video.
We had a car versus a building this morning, is that right, on South Palafox?
Yeah, that was yesterday. It was at 850 South Palafox, or yesterday evening, and a vehicle hit that building down there, which is a building that has several different businesses in it. I believe they were doing an investigation for possible DUI on that. I'm not sure how that turned out, but fortunately, no injuries, nothing serious going on. And the incident that you were just speaking of on 12th Avenue, that too was caused by a crash earlier this morning into a utility pole. So hopefully they'll have that fixed and those lanes opened up quickly.
Oh, so that was a crash this morning. That wasn't just routine maintenance that they've been doing all over town recently. That was the result of an incident.
Yes, it was.
Okay. All right. Well, everybody okay? Do we know?
I don't know the extent of the injuries on it. I do know that there's no life-threatening injuries.
Okay. Well, that's good news. You guys also had an officer that was involved in a crash not too long, a couple days ago, on Bayou.
Yeah, he was in route to a burglary in progress call. He had his lights and siren activated, and when he approached the intersection of Hyde Park, a vehicle made a left turn in front of him, and a collision occurred. And that other vehicle, I believe it was a Jeep, overturned on its side. And fortunately for the officer and those in the Jeep, the injuries were not life-threatening. In fact, they were minor, so we're glad to be able to say that. But, you know, again, it's a dangerous profession that we're in. We need to get to these calls in a hurry, but we got to be safe doing it. And sometimes the collisions are going to happen, and we're just fortunate here that the injuries were minor.
And was the other driver cited? Do you know?
No, I don't know if there was a citation issued in that crash or not.
Okay, but it is, like you say, it's a good reminder that, you know, lights on and sirens is a very, I mean, that's, of the routine things you do, that's the most dangerous routine thing you do, right? I mean, because you just, people miss the signals.
Yeah,
they don't do what they're supposed to do.
And officers, yeah, the officers are looking for this type of thing. They have to drive defensively. And, Andrew, the way they're building cars nowadays, the way they're insulated, you know, as loud as the systems that come in those, the radios that come in those vehicles can get, it's very difficult to hear a siren until it's right on top of you. So you've got to pay attention and make sure that if everything is clear. Every time you make a turn, pull out into an intersection, look both ways. And it's like I always say, even approaching an intersection with a red light or a green light, look at that light and tell yourself in your mind, is it red or green? Because sometimes you'll see one thing, but you do something else, and that's what results in collisions.
Last thing that I wanted to ask you about, we always like to end with a cop myth. The one I've got for you today is, and I think we've probably talked about this before, but I cannot remember, so I might as well ask again. If somebody is running away from you guys, let's say going north on, I don't know, Davis Highway out of the city, or they're going north on US 29 towards the border with Alabama, where or when does police jurisdiction end, or is that purely a myth of the movies?
Well, it's not like baseball. When you get to home plate, which is the state line, you're safe. We're going to continue to pursue. And once we get over there, if we get into Alabama, then we're able to get that vehicle stopped or that person who's fleeing on foot stopped, we're going to make an arrest over there because it's called fresh pursuit, and we're able to keep going. A lot of times it just depends on the situation, what the crime is, what the person's wanted for. But, we don't go to the state line in a chase and then go, golly darn, they made it to Alabama, and then turn around and go home. That's not the way it works.
Well, that's very reassuring. And once again, we find out that maybe every once in a while, not TV and movies are the experts on anything. Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for the time. Thanks for helping keep us safe, and I appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yes, sir. Thank you.